We're holding on Nunbeis Umud Beis, 8 lines from the bottom. We're still discussing the various kinds of tumas from a mess that make a nazir have to shave and bring his karbonas and do all that. One of the things we mentioned, now we've mentioned a number of times that there are certain tumas of a mess which are definitely tumas min a mess in the sense that a person has to be sprinkled with paradrum of water and on the third and seventh day and so forth. But yet with a nazir, they don't make him actually lose his nazirus up to that point. And after munas karbanas, because we said, because the pasuk by the nazir uses the expression b'chi yomus meis olav rather than b'chi tamil nefesh or something like that, implying that within tumas mess, there are some kinds that a nazir shaves for and other kinds that not. So again, the next Mishnah, which we'll learn on Daf and Dalet, is going to talk about various examples of things that even though somebody is tummy mess, if that happens to a nazir, he doesn't have to shave and bring his karbonus. All he has to do is his nazirus is suspended for 7 days. Anyway, the point is that, so we're going through these various kinds of tumas. So one thing is, so we mentioned in the Mishnah that a half a kav of bones is enough to make nazir have to shave. On the other hand, we said a quarter kav of bones is enough to make a person tummy mess. So if it was a quarter kav, so if it was less than a quarter kav, nothing happens. Unless, of course, it meets one of the other criteria that we learned before, Rav Binyan, or whatever. If it's anywhere between a quarter and a half a kav, a person will be tummy mess. But if it's a nazir, then he doesn't have to shave and bring his karbanas. And if it's a half a kav or over, then he also has to shave and bring his karbanas. So now the Gemara is going to bring up something. Now, we also talked about yesterday about the shedra and gogolas, about the skull and the spine, that those have a special status. That we said that we were discussing at some length whether it's the both of them together or whether it's either one of them individually is enough to be matame also. So now the Gemara says Boi Rami Bahama. So Rami Bahama has a question about this matter of the quarter versus the half a calf. Roiva atzomes min shedra v'gogolos. Suppose you have only a quarter calf, not a half a calf, but it comes from, that quarter of a calf comes from the shedra or from the gogolos. So it's not just from any random bones in the body. It comes from those which have a special status. Rami Bahama's question is, what would be the din? Would that be enough to make a nazir shave? So in other words, the question is, now, our Mishnah had mentioned a half a kav of bones, but maybe that would only be hefa de ikam mishar evarim. Maybe that's only when it comes from other evarim, which are less important. So therefore, you need a full half a kav for him to have to shave. Avam and shedra gogolas tachamiri. But if they come from the skull or from the spine, which are more chomer, which have a stricter status, because we said that those all by themselves can be metame, even if they don't meet any of the other criteria. Then maybe even a quarter calf of bones is enough for him to have to shave. Or maybe there's no difference. No matter what, you always need a half a calf for a nazir to have to shave. Actually, Hagoris Hagra takes out those couple of lines about the nazir. Because he learns that actually the question is not so much about the nazir per se, but rather the question would be, normally we say that it takes a half a calf of bones for a person to become tumah tumas oihel as opposed to touching or carrying. So maybe would it be different if they came from the spine or the skull? So according to him, the question is not so much on the nazir. The question is in general on tumas oihel. The reason why Hagoris Hagra does that, by the way, is because a little further on, as we go through the sugya, the Rosh is going to ask that we're going to try to bring a proof from a Mishnah that refers to Tumas Oil, and the question is going to be how that bears on the Tumah of a Nazir, which is not necessarily the same thing. So the Rosh will give an answer to that. But Hagoris Hagra kind of sidesteps that by instead saying that the correct Gersa in the Gemara to begin with is that the question is on Tumas Oil, and in that case, then of course, then we can very well be bringing a proof from Tumas Oil. Anyway, so that's the question. So Omar Rava Toshma, so Rava says, let's prove from our Mishnah. We said that a nozer shaves hashedro vagogolos. If you have a skull or if you have a spine or a skull, and again, we discussed yesterday whether that means a spine and a skull or whether it means one or the other. So Rava says, we're going to assume, says Tosfos, that any shedra or any gogolos is generally going to have at least a quarter calf of bones in it. If it's less than that, then he shouldn't be shaving. So if you're going to tell me that a quarter of a calf of bones, which is less than the half a calf that we had in our Mishnah, if you're going to tell me that a quarter calf, because it comes from the spine or because it comes from the gogolas, from the skull, chomer, you're going to say that therefore it's more stringent and therefore the nazir would shave for that. Listen, I'll roiva atzamas above an ashedra fuller. Then the Mishnah should mention that point. It should say that if there were a quarter calf of bones that came from the shedra or from the gogolas, then that would also be enough for him to be tummy. In other words, the point that Rava is saying is, if we assume that a regular shedra has at least a quarter calf of bones in it, and we assume that a regular gogolas, same thing. Well, then instead of only mentioning a shedra of a gogolas, the Mishnah should mention that a quarter calf of bones for each one of them is matame, and we would understand obviously then the whole thing is matame. The fact that it doesn't say that implies that you still have to have across the board a half a calf for the nazir, and a quarter calf is not enough.
When do we say that you have to have two sides?
Rovinion and Rovinion is something else. That's what we're talking about. If you don't have, so we're talking about if you don't have a quarter calf, but you do have Rovinion or Rovinion, then that by itself would be enough to be Matame as well. Actually, we talked about yesterday the idea. We said when Bishamai and Bishillel argued about the Roivat Summers, can it be from any bones in the body, or did it have to be from Rovinion or Rovinion? But here what we're saying is something else. Rami Bachoma is asking whether it would be enough if the roiva came from the skull only, or from the skull or from the spine. So Rava says in that case, the Mishnah should have mentioned that point rather than just mentioning a whole skull or a whole spine, which by assumption, each of them is more than a roiva. So the Gemara asks, V'har Rava hu da'amar, but didn't we have that Rava himself said, earlier in the sugya, we had back on Daf Nun, we had Rava himself saying that you could have a case. So we said over there, we were discussing the point over there, the Meir's version of the Mishnah, when it listed the various tumas that the Nazir shaves for, it mentioned I'm a mess, about the Zayis when I'm a mess, and we said Rabbi Yehuda was bothered by that. Redundancy, because if it says Al-Kazayis min a-mess, then certainly on a whole mess, and we went through the whole discussion over there, and we said Rava ended up saying that you could have a case where Roy Binyonai or Roy Binyonai, the majority of the height of the person, or the majority of the number of bones in a person, doesn't amount to Roy Vatsomis. Because you can have, for example, it was a small baby, and the amount of bones in those is not necessarily a Roy Vatsomis. So what are you telling me, Rava, that every shedra or every gogolas has at least a roiva, and therefore you're saying the fact that the Mishnah didn't mention that point shows that a roiva by itself is not enough, you need a half a calf. Maybe, in fact, the Mishnah is talking about when you have a whole one. So when you have a whole shedra or a whole gogolas, that would be enough to be matame him, even if they're less than a quarter. Even if they're less than a quarter of a calf, and then, so in other words, it would be if it's a whole shedra or if it's a quarter of a calf from a shedra, whichever one you have. If you have a whole shedra versus if you have a quarter calf from a shedra. So like this in our Gemara, to answer Rami Bahama's question, Rava is saying that by definition every shedra contains at least a quarter calf. But a few blocks earlier, Rava himself said it doesn't necessarily have to be like that. And the answer is Basar Shama Mirab Akiva. The answer is that was after he heard from Rabbi Akiva. that there can be a shedra of the gugulas that don't amount to a quarter of a calf. Now, where does Rav Akiva come in over here? Tosfos says, where does Rav Akiva come in? And second of all, what do you mean that he heard from Rav Akiva? Rav Akiva lived a couple hundred years before Rav. Rav Akiva was one of the Tanoim. Rav is one of the middle Amoraim. He lived about 200 years after Rav Akiva. He can't possibly have heard it from him. So Tosfos actually thinks that there's a couple of lines missing in the Gemara over here, that the Gemara would be saying that, before we even get to the question that Rava seems to be contradicting himself, you have like this, the flow of the Gemara would be that Rami Bachama asks his question about the quarter calf. Rava tries to bring a proof saying that after all, our Mishnah did not mention a quarter calf from a shedra or a gogolos. It mentioned only a whole shedra or a whole gogolos, implying, and we would assume again that every one of them has more than a quarter of a calf in it. Then there would be a piece in the Gemara where Ma'ukva, not Rav Akiva, but Ma'ukva, the names are after all are somewhat similar, where Ma'ukva points out that you could very well have a Shedra or a Gogolas that doesn't contain a Roiva. In other words, you, Rava, are assuming that every Shedra contains a Roiva and every skull contains a Roiva. Not necessarily. There could be ones that are smaller than that. So now the Gemara would be asking why does Rava need to be told that Svara? Didn't Rava say the same thing himself back on Daf Nun? And the answer would be that, in fact, he didn't know that originally, but now Ma'ukva pointed that out, and now Rava realizes it, and therefore, in the Sugya on Daf Nun, which took place later on in our Sugya, evidently, then Rava already knew that fact, and therefore he's able to use it to fend for Rav Meir's, to fend for Rav Meir's version of the Mishnah, why he mentions Hames, the Kazayis, and Hames.
So,
a child's skull, maybe less than a quarter of a calf.
But that's
the mean time, just like an adult. Sure. So that would be one way of doing that. On the other hand, Tosfos brings another possibility. When we said Deshama me Rav Akiva, it does actually mean not that he actually heard from Rav Akiva, because again, Rav Akiva lived a couple hundred years before him, but rather it means that Rava. No, not that Rava heard his name for the
not
first
in time. His name.
No, so what it means is, in other words, what statement of Rav Akiva? So particularly, there's a Mishnah in Ahalos that mentions, we talked about yesterday, the various things that Rav Akiva all used at the Chachamim and then changed his mind. So one of them is, it mentions over there, a Roiva that comes from two Mason and a Shedra and a Gogolos. We quoted that Mishnah yesterday. So now that Rava heard of that Mishnah, so he realized you can very well have a Shedra or a Gogolos that doesn't have a Roiva in it, because Rav Akiva himself in his listing is mentioning those things separately. So that would be the answer. In other words, that when we say Bosa B'Shama Rav Akiva, we mean after he heard of that Mishnah in Ahalos, where Rav Akiva has his opinion about the various things, where even when they're combined together from two Mason, they still are in the town. So that being the case, according to that, then we wouldn't have to add a line in the Gemara. We could say that it means that he heard that Mishnah of Rav Akiva. However, the Rosh asks a question on that still, in that case, then Rava didn't even have to hear that Mishnah. Even earlier in that same parak, it mentions the various tumas that are matama ba'oil, and one of them is it mentions Roiva kavatzamos and Shedra and Gogolos. Why would you have to wait until you heard the Mishnah later on in that parak that mentions Rav Akiva, when you have, even the Chachamim are saying over there at the beginning of that parak that a Roiva kav or a Shedra or a Gogolos on the Tame, making it clear that you can have a Shedra or a Gogolos that are not a Roiva. Right. So Rava is not contradicting himself again, either because, according to Tosfos' first explanation, Ma'ukva pointed out to him that there can be this distinction, and now Rava accepted that distinction, or because now Rava learned the Mishnah in Ahalos, and therefore that told him that there can be a Shedra or a Gogolos that doesn't amount to a Roiva. Fine. Getting back to Rami Bachoma's question, the Gemara says, Tashma, let's try to bring a proof from the Braisa that we learned before. We were discussing the question of where the Roiva Atzamas come from that Armatame. So we said, Beshamai says it can be made up of any bones or two or three of the large bones in the body. And Basilil says it has to be Roiv Binyan or Roiv Minyan. And then we had Shamai Omer. We said that Shamai said, Etzem Echad Min Shedra Omer Min Gogolas, one single bone from a Shedra or from a Gogolas is enough to be Matami. So he's more Machner. Now again, we would assume that Shammai is not so far apart from the Chachamim. We would assume if Shammai says one single bone is enough to be Matami, then the Chachamim are going to say that you need a quarter cab of bones from the Shedra, but not to go so far as So in other words, we're not going to say that they go so far that according to the Chachamim, you should need not only a roiva but a half cab, and according to Shammai, one bone is enough. So therefore, it's more logical to say that they would accept that a roiva is metame, even if it's from the Shedra. And that would answer Rami Bachama's question that yes, there's bones from the Shedra, from the Gogolas are special, and you have a quarter to the shear with those would be a quarter cab rather than a half cab. Yeah, because we're saying Shammai would say only one bone, but still we would say that Shammai and the Chachamim can't possibly be that far apart, that one would say one bone and the others would say, that you have to have a half a cab. So more logical to say that it would be a quarter cab. But again, the Gemara says, Shiny Shammai, the Machmir Tvei. Again, you could say Shammai is being extra Machmir. Maybe indeed the Chachamim would say that you always need a half a cab, no matter whether it comes from the Shedra or from anywhere else. So the Gemara asks, Lifshit Mina. So still, why can't we answer the question from that and say, Time at the Shammai de Machmir? You know why Shammai is saying that so only according to Shammai is it going to be Machmir, and a quarter cab is enough to make the Nazir have to shave. But the implication would be that according to the Chachamim, Ad the Ika Chatzi Kab Atzamos, that on the contrary, you would say that it sounds like maybe the Chachamim are saying that you have to have a half a cab, because after all, if the Chachamim meant that it's only a quarter cab is enough, they should have said so. So we should assume, in other words, like this, our Mishnah says that a half a cab is what's needed for a Nazir to shave. If in that context over there, as far as Tumas Oil, the context over there in the Braisa is not necessarily the Nazir, but rather the regular case of Tumas Oil, so then they should say so. They should say that even though normally you need a half a cab, but Shedra or Gogolas, a quarter cab is enough. If they don't say so, then that implies that they're saying a half a cab across the board. So that would answer the question in that way. And the answer is not necessarily not necessarily, because maybe in fact the Chachamim are arguing only about one bone. So one single bone is not enough to be Matamid. But when you have a quarter cab of bones, then maybe they would agree. They didn't bother spelling it out, but nevertheless that would be what they hold. So now, here's where the Rosh asks, what kind of an attempted proof is this anyway? Here we're talking about a Nazir shaving. You're trying to bring a proof from a Mishnah that talks about Tumas Oil. They're not necessarily the same thing. We already said that not necessarily every Tumah of a mess is a Nazir having to shave for. So how are we trying to prove Rami Bahama's question from this? Also, anyway, also the Rosh says, after all, why is Rami Bahama thinking that a Shedra and a Gogolas should be stronger than Roiv Binyanei and Roiv Binyanei? You're going to say that all of them are big, important parts of the body. So what was the premise of his question anyway? So the Rosh ends up saying that Rami Bahama, so like this, we asked before, we had yesterday the whole discussion of whether it's Shedra Vigogolas or Oy Shedra Oy Vigogolas. Is it both of them together are needed to be Matame, or is it one by itself is enough?
The Mishnah was not exact.
The Mishnah had said the Shedra Vigogolas, but sometimes the Vav can mean or. It doesn't necessarily have to mean and. So we were going back and forth on that yesterday. So the point is then, the Rosh says that Rami Bahama is basing himself off that question. So we would say, Rami Bahama would say that it's definitely Shedra Vigil Golos. Definitely means Rami Bahama would say definitely means one or the other. So he would say that a Shedra and a Golos are not so important as that one of them individually by itself. What he's saying is like this. If we say Shedra Vrigal Golos together, then it means that each one of them is not really important enough by itself. So then we would say you need a half a pav no matter what. But if you say Oy Shedra Oy Golos, that it's one or the other, then we could say, in other words, we see that those are so important, so maybe also then in that case, then a quarter kav of them is so important. So that would be the question, in other words. So the question would really be, is it Shedra Oigol Golos or Shedra Vigol Golos? And therefore, now basing on that would be whether you need a quarter or a half a pound. So now the proof from the Sechta Olas, the proof from the case where you have a Shedra, and Shammai is going so far as to say that one bone of the Shedra is already Matame Ba'oil, then that would be a valid proof. Because we could say, in other words, that again, the Chachamim presumably would agree that a whole Shedra by itself is Matame Ba'oil, and then in that case, it would mean not only that, it would mean the Shedra is important enough that even a quarter of a cab of it is significant rather than needing a half cab. And the Gemara says not necessarily, because the Chachamim may not be spelling out explicitly how far they're just where they're arguing with Shammai, whether they hold that a quarter is enough or whether you need a half.
So if according to the Chachamim, if it's a whole unit, then it could be a little less, and if not, then it has to be a minimum of a half cup.
Right. That's. So if it's a Shedra and Bogolos together, then yeah, that's yeah.
Well, that's more than probably.
Right. Well, that depends on the size of the person, right? And again, you know, the Vilna Gaon in his notes of the Hiyu on the Gemara, I mean, he says b'chlal, Rami Bahama's question was never about the Nazir in the first place. All of it was about Tumas Oil. So therefore, of course, the Gemara is bringing in a Mishnah about Tumas Oil. Fine. The Gemara goes on. So more on this topic about a quarter versus a half a cab, where again, a quarter of a cab is enough to be a tamei person, but you need a half a cab for the nazir to have to shave. So the Gemara says that there was actually a history with this. Omer Rabbi Eliezer, Braisa says, Omer Rabbi Eliezer, Zekeinim Harishonim, the Uliyu Chachamim, Miktsosin Hoyu Oimin, some of them held they held that the concept that you need a half a cav of bones or that you need a half a log of blood, which is two rabbis, that tumas oihel would apply to those. Lakol, that would apply to everything. But meaning everything, both as far as Truma and Kodshim, and as far as that a Nazir, and as far as Nazir of Oysa Pesach. We learned the other day, that we learned a few days ago, that you have a distinction sometimes in Halacha. There are certain Tumas, where we said those are Tumas Dirabbanon, where we said that they'll affect somebody who's going to eat Truma and Kodshim. He can't eat Truma and Kodshim as long as he's Tomei with those Tumas. On the other hand, if he's a Nazir, or he's Oysa Pesach, he's on his way to make his Korban Pesach, then we're not going to impose that degree of tumah on him and make him miss the Korban Pesach. Instead, we'll just say, since it's only a tumah de Rabbanon, then we'll still allow him to bring his Korban Pesach.
And
so he'll need tevila and head of shemesh maybe, but no more than that. He won't have seven days tumah. So now Rabbi Eliezer is saying that some of among the Zkenim Arishonim, some of them held that this concept that it's a half a lug and a half a calf or a half a lug is lakol, is across the board for all of these things. But those Chachamim had said, but when it comes to a quarter of a calf of bones or a quarter of a lug of blood, loy lakol, then that would not be for everything, then that would be only as far as Truma and Kodshim. A Nazir who became Tomei with a quarter cab of bones or a quarter log of blood or an Oysa Pesach who became Tomei with those, some of those Skenim or Rishonim said that he won't be Tomei Actually, then they said lo lakol means not. No, sorry, lo lakol means not as far as anything. So those original chachamim said that a quarter of kava bones or a quarter of a log of blood is not matame at all. So even a person would still even be able to eat truma and kodshim after lakol for anything, for anything, right? So that was some of the chachamim. Continues Rabbi Yezra, Muktzasan, how you arguing? On the other hand, some of the chachamim said, Ach roiva atzama, so revias dam lakol. Other of the chachamim said that no, even revias and roiva apply to everything, even the nazir. So in other words, both of those sets of chachamim held that there's no difference between nazir and osa pesach versus truma and kodshim. Either you're tamei for both, either you're tamei for all four of those things, or you're not tamei for any of them. So some of them held that with a roiva and revias you're not tamei for any of them. Others said that a roiva or revias is enough to be tamei for all four of them. That was the original machloikas among the chacham. Well, some earlier generation. Rabbi Eliezer is not saying what earlier generation we're talking about. Then he says, based in Shalachareham Omru. Then a later based in said that no, there's a difference. Chatsi kavat samas v'chatsi log dam lakol. When it comes to a half kav of bones or a half a log of blood, then it'll affect everybody. Truma, kodshim, nazir, and pesach. On the other hand, roiva at samas or revias dam, but the quarter kav of bones or the revias of blood, the truma v'kodshim avaloy v'nazir v'oisa pesach. Those will affect only somebody who is doing truma or kodshim, but not a nazir or oisa pesach. The nazir won't have to bring his korbanos, and the oisa pesach will be able to make his korban pesach.
Roiva
has a quarter kav.
Oh, so even
Bishami
would agree to that?
So we're not talking about Bishami Basilo. I mean, we're talking about ultimately the halacha is like Basilo. What we're talking about is that our Mishnah had said that in the case of a Nazir, you need a half a cab of bones or half a lug of blood to make him have to shave. Right. So that is based on these based in Shalach Arei. The original based in, Rabbi Eliezer wants to know, where they argued about this, they wouldn't have said that. They would have said, either depending who you asked in that basin before they were able to vote on it, either you would say that a nazir shaves and brings his korbanos even for only a quarter kav of bones or one revias of blood, or others would have said that no, for that nobody becomes tamei, and even truma of kodshim you're allowed to eat after being in contact with those.
They put the four together.
Right. Right. So this that we have in our Mishnah and in the various other Mishnayos and Braises that we quoted before, that there's a difference between Truma of Kodshim versus Nazir of Oisa Pesach, as far as the Shiurim, you should know, Rabbi Eliezer wants us to know, that is only according to based in Shalach Reh. So the Gemara asks, so how could we accept the opinion of that later based in? Nechti, let's consider. Einach Ros Shlishis Machras. A reconciliation, or like a compromise that you have that's done by a third is not considered an achra. There's a few places in the Gemara where it mentions this concept of achra shlishis. So Rashi in some of those places, for example, in Pesachim explains you have like this. If you have two Tanoim, for example, one of them says, whether in this case or whether in this case, then the halacha is such and such. And another one says, whether in this case or in that case, the halacha is like such. Then you can say, then a third opinion could come in. You know what? In this case, it'll be like the one Tana. In that case, it'll be like the other Tana. That's an acceptable compromise because when the fact that the first Tana said, whether in this case or in this case, implies that he said, I understand there might be a logical reason to distinguish between those two cases. Nevertheless, I hold that there's no difference in halacha between them. And the other one would be doing the same thing. So now the third one can say, you know what, after all, that point that you yourselves agree to, that there is a valid reason maybe to distinguish between them, I'm going to say that actually we should make that distinction. So then the halacha can be like him. But if they don't say any such thing, if they just say the halacha, if one says the halacha is such, and the other one says the halacha is such, then if a third one comes and says, in this case, it'll be like that. In that case, it'll be like that. That's not the kind of compromise that we should accept in halacha, because then he's not going like either one of them. Neither one of them holds that there should be that distinction to follow. So here you have that. Here you have that the skenim are rishonim. Some of them are saying lakol and lo lakol, and some of them are saying lakol across the board for all of them. Neither one of them is saying that there should be any distinction between truma kodshim versus nazir v'osa pesach. So where is the later based in getting that from that we should say that we should follow them? That would be how Rashi learns in some places in Shas. Tosfos over here rather says, and they explain in other places in Shas as well, that achrosh lishis means. It means a compromise that's made by the Talmidim in the following generation. Now, who are the later Beistim? They're the Talmidim of the earlier of the Chachamim of the earlier Beistim. So, how can we accept their compromise when they're going according to their Rebbeim? When they should be going according to their Rebbeim, rather, where are they getting their own independent opinion from that we should follow them? So why are we saying that all the Mishnayos and Brisos and everything that we said until now are distinguishing between Truma and Kodshim versus Nozir and Osa Pesach, which is following the Beis Din Shalach Reim? Why are we following them instead of the earlier Beis Din? And the answer is Omer Rabbi Yaakov Ba'idi, because Rabbi Yaakov Ba'idi tells us, you should know, that later Beis Din did not just come up with it on their own. They actually said it based on a shmua, based on something that they heard from their rabbeim, mipish chagas chayyo malachi, going all the way back to chagas chayyo malachi at the beginning of the second mishnah, that there is in fact that distinction. The Mefarish brings a different gusa that they said from Shmaya and Avtalion. So according to that, the original Chachamim that was saying that, oh, you know, here probably would be the Chachamim of Shammai and Hillel's times. That would be the Talmidim of Shmaya and Avtalion. Whatever the case, in other words, the point is that, so evidently, in other words, the original Chachamim at first did not know of that. At some point, somebody came and informed them that there's a Kabbalah going back to Shmaya and Avtalion, going back to Chagas, Chayim Malachi, that there is this distinction. And then the later Beis Din duly passed according to that. So therefore, that's not Hachrosh Lishis, because it's something they're using information that the earlier Beis Din didn't have.
Which means you're saying that the halacha is like Roshonim.
So therefore, the halacha ends up actually being like the Achronim in this case. So in other words, Chagas Chayim Malachi are before the Roshonim even. But in other words, the point is that the Achronim didn't just come up with this difference between Nozir v'Osa Pesach and Truma v'Kodshim. They didn't come up with it on their own. They were told that it's a tradition going all the way back to Chagas Chayim Malachi.
Which was in time of
who were at the beginning of the second Mishnah, long before the Chachamim Harishonim, long before the Skenim Harishonim that Rabbi Eliezer has mentioned.
Rishonim
doesn't mean all the way back when the Torah was given or something. I mean sometime earlier, sometime before Rabbi Eliezer's times. Yeah, Rishonim doesn't always mean first. Sometimes it just means earlier. Yeah. And you have similar kinds of things. For example, you have, you know, we're coming up to Pesach now. It's in Yonah Diyom to talk about Mechiras Chametz. The Alter Rebbe points out at the beginning of Seder Mechiras Chametz that when you have the whole discussion of how exactly the mechanism by which the sale works and whether it works on a Daraisa or a Darabanan level and things like that, the Alter Rebbe starts by pointing out that there were certain Sfarim of the Rishonim that were not available until closer to his time. They hadn't been printed in earlier times, and therefore there were opinions of Rishonim and earlier Achronim that said such and such, but they would have said differently if they knew those opinions that now have been published and are available. And one thing that comes up with that is as far as, for example, the concept of giving a down payment on the Mechiras Chametz, considering that to be enough is not necessarily enough because as you have a Truva, I think, from the Rif that talks about that maybe not in all cases will that be valid if you're continuing to say, I want the rest of the money. Sometimes, yeah, you sell something and you receive a down payment, but you really want the rest of the payment as soon as possible. So then in that case, it may not be a valid sale. So that's why the Alter Rebbe talks about the idea. You don't sell the Chametz directly to the Goy. Instead, you have the Rav is the order of Kablon. And that helps because that way, in other words, like, you sold it to, so, so, uh, in effect, you sold it to you sold it to the Rav, and then he so you yourself are not Ayov and Nafik Azuzi. You yourself are not going to the Goy demanding the rest of the payment. So therefore, and the Rav isn't either, because not his, because not really the Chometz is not in his house, and therefore it helps. So it's a long point. It's a long and very subtle point. But the point is that after that, it starts by mentioning, he says, no, the Basharim Amitzion and Ba'alacha, that there are many opinions of Rishonim that were not published until our times, and therefore, just because you find Uli Rachronim that say such and such as the Halacha, not necessarily would they have said that if they knew that there was a different opinion out there which has not yet been published. So here we have an example of that in the Gemara, where these Skenim or Rishonim were not aware that there's something that Chag, Eschari, and Malach said on the subject, but the Skenim Achronim were aware of it. Okay. Next, we said in the Mishnah, so now, after the Mishnah listed all these various things that a Nazir shaves for, so the Mishnah had finished off, Al Elo HaNazir Megaleach. It said, for these, the Nazir shaves. So you actually have that. That expression was twice. The Mishnah had started by saying, on Mamtesma days, Al Elo Tumas HaNazir Megaleach, the Nazir shaves for the following Tumas, and it listed 12 different things. And then it finished off, and it said, Al Elo HaNazir Megaleach, for these, the Nazir shaves, and gets squiggled with pot adruma water and brings his korbanos and moves to the previous days, etc. So why the double expression, why the double expression, Al Elo HaNazir Megaleach? And in particular, the question is, why Al Elu on these, implying that we're trying to be Mamayat something? So what are we being Mamayat? So Al Elu Dereisha, Lama'uti Etzel Kasa'ura, so the Al Elu at the beginning is coming to exclude a bone the size of a grain of barley, which, yes, that's Matame, but only Zal Magoy, Val Masoy Ein, Val Ahiloy Loy. It's only Matame when a person touches it or carries it, but not if he's under an oival with it. Which, by the way, you have in a few places, and in many places in Shas, you have the concept of a base of pras. You have a field where there was a grave that was plowed over, and there's a concern that fragments of bone have been scattered all over the field. So now, there are certain conditions, the Gemara mentions, in various places where you're allowed to walk through such a field, and you'll still be Tahor, and part of that is based on the idea that there's no problem of Tumas Oyel over there. There's only a problem if you touch or carry the bone. There's no problem that there might be a fragment of bone buried under the ground, which now you might be overshadowing.
Because you need to have a chatzikav or the aura.
No, not because of that. Chatzikav, yeah, that's right. You need chatzikav for another, and you need a quarter kav in other circumstances to be metamim oil. Right. One individual grain of bone, the size of a grain of barley, is not going to be metamim oil. So yeah. So therefore, the Al Elu of our Mishnah is coming to tell us that don't think that one is included as well. Now, the Mishnah actually mentions that further on. Tosfos says, okay, this would be one of those examples where the Tanna says something briefly and then explains it more fully. Val Elu de Sefer, what about the words Al Elu at the end of the Mishnah? That comes, the Ma'uti Evan Haschuchis. That comes to exclude a stone, that comes to include a stone that sticks out. Schuchis Meloshin Schach. So Tosfos explains, if you have, and we're actually going to talk about this in the next Mishnah on Dachman Dalin, you can have, for example, you have, let's say, a stone that's part, that you have, let's say, for example, you have a fence and you have a couple of stones sticking out of the fence. There's tumah under one of them and you don't know which one. That's only a suffix tumah, and therefore that's not enough to make the nazir shave. Now again, the next Mishnah is going to point that out explicitly, but again, it would be an example of Toni Vahadur Mefarish, that the Mishnah is telling us something briefly, and then it's giving us the fuller details.
So a few stones sticking out of the wall, and one of them is over.
One of them is over a caver, but you don't know which one. So now you passed under the stone. The question is, are you under an oil? Yeah. So the question is, yeah, there has to be at least a tefach. Has to be at least a tefach wide in order to be an oil. Three or four inches, depending on whether I'm a chazanish.
Such a small thing.
Yeah, no, well, in other words, he passes under, and at some point he's underneath it, and then he passes by. It doesn't have to be that his whole body is underneath it. We learned a few days ago, for example, that a person goes into a house where there's tumor, even when he sticks in his nose, his hand, his toes, or whatever, then already he becomes tumor. Yeah. So that's according to Tosfos. The Mefarish has a different understanding over here of that Evan HaSchuchis means the kind of thing that the Gemara elsewhere calls Evan Mesama. which means a stone that's placed. So you have, so you have like this. Imagine you have a mess, or this kind of thing of Evan Masama comes up in connection with other, with other sources of Tumah. So if you have a heavy stone on top of it, such a, it's so heavy that if a person sits on it and doesn't move, then sometimes we say it blocks the Tumah. Sometimes not. Sometimes we say that an Evan Masama still doesn't block the Tumah. For example, by a Zav, we say that even if a Zav is sitting on top of an Evan Masama and there are clothes or kelim or whatever underneath the stone, they're still going to become Tameh because of Tumas Midras. But in the case over here, the Mefardish is explaining that if you have a mess and then on top of it you have an Evan Masama and somebody is sitting on top of the Evan Masama, he does become Tameh. However, not to the extent of a Nazir having to shave.
What's the difference with oil?
The difference is not really an oil. It's the difference is not really an oil. It's actually, it's a solid stone.
What's underneath it?
So underneath it is a, underneath it is a caver. Rashi refers to a Mishnah, in Olas that says that, things can bring tumah, even sometimes even if they're narrower than a tefach, but except for clay glolim, clay avonim, clay adama, except for kalim made out of animal waste or out of stones or out of unfired earth. So in this case, in other words, this would be considered in effect like a kali made out of stone, and therefore doesn't allow the tumah to allow the tumah through to a certain extent. But it won't be not enough for the nazir to have to shave. So that's how the Mefardish learns Evan Aschor is.
It means that the tumah is firm, that you see that the completely covered wood is sewn with a shayish.
So then that might be an example of an Evan Masama. The truth is actually when the stone is being used as a gravestone, that's a little bit different. Then you have the tumah of Goylul and Doifik, which is a special tumah of its own, so that might be different. Here with Pashtus, we're talking about the stone is not actually being used to cover the grave, it just happens to be lying over there. So the Mefardish brings both possibilities. One is that it means a large stone like that. The other one is it means a stone that, similar to what Tosfos says, a stone that overshadows a caver. Because again, the idea would be, since it's stone, then it's not transmitting tumah from one place to another. The Keren Oda has questions on both of those. On the first question, the concept of Evan Masama only applies by a Zav, doesn't apply by Tumas Nes. And the second one is in fact that clay avonim do bring tumah. When you say that this Rashi is quoting about clay glolim or whatever it is talking about a different scenario. Then the Rosh has a third possibility that it means that Evan has schuchis is related to the word zichuchis, which means glass. So the Rosh has yet another explanation that what we mean is that glass wouldn't transmit tumah from one place to another. So in other words, that if a person was under, like for example, if a person was under a glass oil, then it wouldn't bring tumah to him. Although again, the question is why on earth not? Why should glass be different than any other kind of material?
Glass comes from
sand, but it's still a keli basically. So.
Even though it's completely
it's still a keli, or it's still, you know, nowadays they have glass roofs or whatever, so why shouldn't it be like any other? So there's a few different explanations of Evan Haschuchis. Each one of them has some kind of difficulty with it, but yeah, in any case, that's what the Mishnah means to exclude with its last alev.
And so, no, that wouldn't be enough for another to have to
shame. In this case, of Evan Haschuchis, however we define it, right? Okay. Now, the Mishnah had mentioned the Hatsi Kava Tzomei, so again, going back to the half tab of bones. So the Gemara says Hatsi Kava Tzomei Ein Roiva Tzomei Loi. So you're telling me that only a half a cab is enough to make the Nozir lose his Nizirus up to that point and have to shave and so forth. Roiva Tzomei Loi. Now, the implication is that a Roiva is not enough for him to have to shave.
Roiva is less, I guess.
Roiva is less, so Roiva is a half, Roiva is a quarter, Hatsi is a half, yeah. So the Gemara asks, "Hey, Shidami, well, what's the scenario? Ilema de is behind atzamos kisaoda. If there are in that roiva atzamos that there are bone, there are individual bones the size of a grain of barley. Well, then anyway, he's tamei. Typically, mishum etzim kisaoda. Well, then anyway, he would be tamei because of the etzim kisaoda. Fine, it's not matame ba'oil. It's not matame ba'oil, but it's still matame if he touches it or carries it.
So if you have one piece the size of a grain of barley is enough to nutame him, then certainly if you have a quarter cab of bones, fine. We learned before that the quarter cab or the half a cab means that the bones have been shattered and you have small pieces, fine. But nevertheless, each of the pieces is the pashtus, at least the size of a grain of barley. So he'd be tummy anyway, even if you only had a quarter cab, even if you had less than a quarter cab, because you have individual fragments in there the size of a grain of barley.
Tummy, but not that shape, right?
No, that's what we're saying. In other words, what we said in the Mishnah was, if a nazir touches or carries an etzim kasa'ira, he's going to have to shave. So now, what are you telling me that only if you have a half a cab of bones is he going to have to shave? Even if you have far less than a half a cab, you're going to have fragments in there that are larger than a sa'ira. In fact, Tosfos asks, what is the Gemara even asking? We're talking over here about Tumas oil, of a grain, a piece of bone the size of a grain of barley is not Matama oil. So what's the question? Yeah, in other words, if you have individual fragments, each the size of a grain of barley, and they don't amount to a half a cab, then you don't have Tumas oil. So what's the Gemara's question? So Tosfos says that, the premise of the Gemara's question is that the Gemara is gonna tell us soon that the Mishnah goes on to mention that if you have a quarter of a cab and Nazir is not shaving on it, and the Gemara is going to later on explain that there's a difference between Tumas Oihel versus Maga and Masa. So in other words, if the Chiddush of the Mishnah is to tell us when the Nazir has to shave, when he touches or carries, well then, in that case, less than a half a cab or so, you have any time there's Etzim Kasoida in there, if he touches or carries it, he's going to become Tomei. So why does the Mishnah even need to mention the half a cab? And the answer is, the Gemara answers, Elad Akmach Akmuchi. So you have to be talking about that the bones were ground into a powder. They're so finely ground now, they're like flour or like dust or whatever. So now there's no single etzim kasoira, and therefore you need a half a cab. It's true that if there were individual ones, the size of a soira, then it would be matame with far less. The Chazon Ish actually has an explanation along the lines of that we talked about the other day. We have in the machlokas of Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yechon Manuri, we mentioned a case of etzem kisaodah shenechlak l'shnayim. You have a piece of bone the size of a grain of barley that was split in two, and the question is whether the two pieces still count together to be metamin. He says fine, but at least then it's still recognizable as bone. When it's been ground up so finely, as we're talking about over here in our Gemara, where it's not even recognizable as bone, then for sure we wouldn't say that the fragments join together to make an etzim kasoida, and then that's when you need the half a cab that we're talking about in our Mishnah. Okay. Now, we said in the Mishnah, al evam and amnesa, al evam and achai sheyeshalein bosa karoi. We also mentioned in the Mishnah that you have a limb from a dead person, or from a living person, where they have enough flesh on them. So we talked about earlier on Daf Nun, we mean even if that aver is less than a kazayis, the fact that it's an aver, the fact that it's a complete limb, that it has bosa begidim ba atzamos, gives it significance, even if it's less than a kazayis. But we said, the condition is, it has to be sheyeshal bosa karoi, there's enough flesh on it, where if it was still attached to the person, it would be able to regenerate, and it would be able to heal.
So a finger goes decadent.
So a finger, for example, would be an aver. Yeah, and has bosa begidim ba atzamos, yeah. So it wouldn't even necessarily have to be a whole finger. An aver for this purpose is, we talked about the other day, there's a Mishnah in Ahalus that lists the 248 bones in the body, and it mentions, for example, that in the hand alone, you have, I think, 30 of them. Because you have a whole bunch in the palm, you look at an x-ray, for example, you see there are a whole bunch of small bones in the palm and the hand, that's what makes it so flexible. Then you have each one of the fingers has three phalanges in it, three bones, except for the thumb has two. So you have in the hand alone, you have about 30 bones. So the point is, any one of those individually, so for example, you have a fingertip from the last knuckle and to the end would be so let's say, for example, a little finger over here or any finger you have, for example, from the last joint until the tip would be considered an aver by itself. So now the point is, even if you have, let's say, a baby's little piece like that, it's not necessarily going to be the size of a kazayis, but it has busted the gidin bat somas. So therefore it'll be, because it has flesh, it has bones, and it has gidin, however you translate gidin, whether it means nerves or tendons or sinews or what have you, it has all of those. ligaments or whatever, it has all of those, so therefore it would be matame, even though it's less than a kazayas. But we said the condition is only if there's enough flesh left on the bone
that, can be good.
That if it was still attached to the child, then it would be able not necessarily to regrow originally like it was. You'd have scar tissue, but in other words, the point is that it would actually heal rather than eventually having to be amputated or something. So then that's the shield. So now the Gemara asks, Ein alein basar karoi mai. Now what happens if there's not enough basar on them? So now suppose that so obviously Tosfos says obviously then the Mishnah is telling us that it's not metame but tumas oil. The question would be what happens if he touches or carries it? Suppose that the aver is so small that there's not even an etzem kasa'ur. Again, you could have, let's say, from a newborn baby or even from a prematurely stillborn baby or whatever, you could have conceivably that tip of the finger doesn't even the bone in it is not even etzem kasa'ur, not even the size of a grain of barley, but it is an aver. However, it doesn't have basa karoi. So now, if he touches it or carries it, what happens? Rabbi Yochanan Amar Einan Nozim Galei Haleihem. So the Nozir says, so Rabbi Yochanan says that the Nozir will not have to shave on it because there's no etzim to sa'ura in it. Rish Lakish Amar Nozim Galei Haleihem. Rish Lakish says he will. Even though there's no etzim to sa'ura and there's no basa karoi, so it's not metame ba'oihel, but nevertheless, it's an aver and therefore it's important enough that it would be matame when he touches it or when he carries it, as the Gemara is going to soon say how he learns that from Sukkah. So let's analyze the machlokes. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Einan Nozim Galei Haleihem Darka Tari Bereisha, because after all, the Reisha of the Mishnah said Al Evim and Amnesva Al Evim and Achai B'Chol Shiyesh Alein Kazayis Baser Ein. So we said an Evim and Amnesva and Evim and Achai only if they have a kezias of flesh on them, which is the amount that would be to regenerate. So ein, so only yes if they have that. Avol ein aleihem loy. But if there's not a kezias, if there's not basa karoy on them, then no, they're not matame at all because there's no etzim kasoda. But Reb Shimon and Lakish omim galeach. He says after all midloy katoni bereisha because you have to analyze. He says the sefer rather, because the sefer, which is the next Mishnah on Daf Mem Daled, when it lists the things for which a nazir does not have to shave, it doesn't mention a case where the evorim don't have basa karoi. So therefore, the implication is that whether there's basa karoi or not, there's going to be cases where a nazir has to shave. Fine, says Rish Lakish. I agree those won't be tumas oihel, obviously. But nevertheless, if he touches or carries them, then it'll be enough to make it that he will have to shave. So Rish Lakish says it's true that our Mishnah says Shiyesh Aleihem Basar Karoi, but the next Mishnah that does not mention the flip side of it, that if not, then not, implying that there's always a case where an aver makes a nazir has to shave, whether there's Basar Karoi or not. The difference is if there's Basar Karoi, there's also Tumas Oil, and if there's no Basar Karoi, then there still will be Tumah, even though there's no Etzim Kesa'ur, even though there's no grain of barley or anything else, as long as it's a complete aver. Yeah. Basically the Rosh explains, in other words, that's the question. Would such an aver even be metame b'mago v'masa? So the Rosh Lakish is going to learn from a pasuk further on that it is metame b'mago v'masa, so therefore it's enough to make a nazir have to shave as well. Rav Yechanan would say that it's not even metame b'mago v'masa. And the Gemara is going to explain that he's going to use the Rosh Lakish's pasuk to tell us a different limit. So therefore, so according to him, not only would a nazir not have to shave for it, but a person wouldn't even become tummy from touching or carrying sort of thing. A regular person, that is. So the Rosh explains that the underlying machlokes. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Lach. So Rabbi Yochanan is going to answer to you the fact that it doesn't say in the next Mishnah, that doesn't prove anything. Kol heicha demashma miklala loikatoni v'sefer. Whenever you have something that you can derive it from the Eurasia, it doesn't need to say it in the sefer. So the sefer doesn't need to mention ein aleihem basar karoi, because the Eurasia already mentioned that where there is basar karoi, then you need to shave, automatically implying that if there's not, then not. So the Mishnah didn't need to repeat it. So Rabbi Yochanan is going to say that it's not so much, in other words, that So it's not so much, in other words, that since our Mishnah says that where there's Basa Karoi, then the implication is that if there's no Basa Karoi, then not. It's rather the fact that the Mishnah doesn't mention even the fact that if there's no Basa Karoi, a person becomes Tomei by touching it. Our Mishnah only mentioned Eva Shiesh Ala Basa Karoi, implying that if there's no Basa Karoi, it's not even the Tame, the Mago of Masa. Because otherwise the Mishnah at least should have mentioned that whether there's Basa Karoi or not, it's still able to be Matame him under some circumstances. So the fact that it doesn't, that's really the deal that Rabbi Yochanan says, that shows therefore that's not Matame at all. So the Gemara asks, V'ho chatsi kavat somos, what about the case of a half kav of bones? The mashma chatsi kavat somos ein roiva at somos loy. So the implication is that a half a kav is matame the nozir and nates mat to shave, a quarter kav is not. The katani b'sefer roiva at somos, and still the next mishnah is going to mention the roiva at somos and saying that saying. And the Mishnah is going to say that a nazir doesn't lose his nazirus because of them. So you see that sometimes the Mishnah does mention, the later Mishnah does mention things that we could have deduced from our Mishnah, and still it mentions them. So what kind of a proof is that of Rabbi Yochanan's? The answer is hosam. The answer is that over there, ilav roiva atzomis. If it didn't mention the roiva atzomis, habamina, you would have thought afila amagoiva amasoi loy, that the nozir wouldn't shave even if he touched the quarter kav of bones or carried them. Lahochi itzrich lemisni roiva atzomis. Therefore, the Mishnah had to mention roiva atzomis, implying that only the alahilon who the ena nozir galayach, that the nozir doesn't shave only if he doesn't overshadow them, only if he's not under the same roof as them. So in other words, so the words over there, al elo ena nozim galayah, means to inform us that you have the tumas oil doesn't apply when there's less than a half a tab, but tumas mago masa do. On the other hand, here Rabbi Yochanan is arguing that the aver that doesn't have basa karoi and that has less than an etzem kisaoda is not metame at all. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan says that there's no reason for the next Mishnah to mention it, because already from our Mishnah we can already infer that we can already deduce that it's not metame. So that would explain over there, but that doesn't prove anything about the fact that it doesn't mention in the next Mishnah. And Rish Lakish says, you want to say that it doesn't mention that the Nazir doesn't have to shave, implying therefore that he should have to, that there are cases where, yeah, Rabbi Yochanan says it's different because here we're saying either way, a quarter kav is matamim mago masa, just we're saying not the oil. But over here, we're saying that this aver that doesn't have flesh on it, and that doesn't have enough flesh on it at all, is not metame at all. So the Gemara asks, v'ho chatsi log dam, what about, here's another example, the half a log of blood, the shamat mino chatsi log dam ein revius dam loy. Again, the implication would be that only a half a log is enough to make the nozir shave, but not a revius, and the katani v'sefer revius dam, and yet the next Mishnah mentions a revius. And the answer is Hosam Ma Pukim into Rabbi Akiva. That next Mishnah would be telling us that, to tell us not like Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, in fact, we talked about this before, we're going to learn in the Mishnah on Rinvolva Mabez, that Rabbi Akiva tries to make Kavah Choymer to say that Revius Dam and Ames should be enough for a nozer to shave. So the Mishnah wants to tell us not like that, but rather like Rabbi Eliezer. The Amar Rabbi Akiva, Revius Dam, Abba Mishnei Mason, the time of oil. Rabbi Akiva says that even if the Revius comes from two different Mason, then it's still Matame Ba'oyo, all the more so if it comes from one. So therefore, so the Mishnah wants us to know that, the Mishnah wants us to know that it's not so. Actually, Tosfos has the Revius Dam Mishnei Mason in parenthesis, because we're not necessarily Goris. The point is not Rabbi Akiva's opinion about when it comes from two Mason. Rather, we're talking about the opinion of Rabbi Akiva that a Revius of Dam from even one mess is enough to be Matame and Nazir, where Rabbi Eliezer tells him it's not so. And therefore, the next Mishnah, when it repeats the point of Revius Dam, that a Nazir doesn't have to shave, it means to tell us not like Rabbi Akiva, who would have said that he does have to shave, but not necessarily. So it's not an example. So again, Rabbi Yochanan can say, in general, that Mishnah would not list things that you could infer from our Mishnah. There, it's doing it because to tell us not like Rabbi Akiva. But when it comes to the Aver that doesn't have Basa Koroi, since our Mishnah already says that, if it has Basa Koroi, then the Nazir shaves for it, then the clear implication is that if it has less than that, it's not Matame at all, and therefore the next Mishnah doesn't even need to mention it. So we'll continue discussing this machlokas of Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish tomorrow, Baz Hashem, and we'll talk about the pasuk where Rish Lakish learns his din from, and what Rabbi Yechon says instead. We use that pasuk for something different.